A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
You're listening to The Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 with me, Neil Manthorpe, and the former England fast bowler, Steve Harmison, as we look back at one of the most significant days in the sport's history, at least the last 20 years. We'll bring you all the fallout on the day the former Yorkshire cricketer Azim Rafiq gave evidence to the DCMS about racism at the county. And we ask, what now for Yorkshire, the ECB and the sport as a whole? Over the course of the show, we'll hear some of Azim Rafiq's testimony, as well as some from former Yorkshire chair Roger Hutton and the ECB chief executive Tom Harrison, as well as speaking live to former England batsman Oase Shah. You're listening to The Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2. Ami, it's been a day most of us who watched and listened will never forget. You've been intimately involved in following the hearing and listening to Azim Rafiq's testimony. You've had a couple of hours to digest it now. It'll take more than a couple of hours, but what are your thoughts?
Immense pride for Azim to do what he's done. A young man I know enough about him personally, having played with him for them three games or four games I was at Yorkshire in the dressing room that he was talking about. Sadness about the where he was in his life and where this game is at this moment in time. Embarrassment of the way I listened to the ECB and Yorkshire go about just common decency of looking after somebody that played cricket for them. You know, he was an employee of Yorkshire under the banner of the ECB, passing the buck either way, back and forward when they spoke. And a lot of surprise and shock and horror at the way Azim Rafiq spoke about individuals and the collective organisation, which is Yorkshire County Cricket Club, an organisation which I represented. So I was, you know, the immense pride of how he spoke. I thought, you know, this kid's been through a horrific ordeal, and that could have been prevented right at the outset if Yorkshire had done their job properly and a duty of care and looked after this guy and, you know, others in and around that dressing room and in the system. So it's been a horrendous day for English cricket. I think it's been a horrendous day for cricket, and one that we'll eventually recover from. But I think when they say you have to go to rock bottom to get up and start sort of building blocks again, this is rock bottom. This is rock bottom for English cricket and the scandal that has been Azim Rafiq.
There's such a difference between sitting behind a microphone and you know, working on radio and sitting in front of a committee like that and speaking. It was deeply intimidating. It was intimidating just watching it. The courage that he managed to muster and has done for the last 15 months, but to sit and answer questions for 90 minutes was extraordinary. I know that many people listening they won't have heard Azim Rafiq speaking live. So here's just a taste of some of the things that that he said and the abuse that he received at Yorkshire?
Pretty early on, me and other people from Asian background, there was comments such as, you lot sit over there near the toilets, elephant washers, the word used constantly, and there just seems to be an acceptance in the institution from the leaders, and no one ever stamped it out. To be honest, all I wanted to do is play cricket and play cricket for England and live my dream and live my family's dream. My first instance of drinking, I actually got pinned down at my local cricket club, and red wine got poured down my throat.
How old were you?
15.
15, you're a Muslim, 15.
15-year-old, I got literally down my throat. The player played for Yorkshire, played for Hampshire. And yeah, it was quite an experience. I didn't touch alcohol till about around 2012. And around that time, I felt like I had to do that to fit in. Like I said, I regret that massively. But again, I would like, it has no bearings on the things that I was called. Constant use of the word. In 2017 pre-season tour, we were in a place and Gary Balance walks over and goes, why are you talking to him? You know he's a or he's not a shake, he's got no oil. And this happened in front of teammates, it happened in front of coaching staff. We were on a bus trip in London to Surrey game and we went past a couple of men with beard and it was like, oh, is that your dad? If we go past a corner shop, or does your uncle own this? And this happened in front of, again, Martin Moxon, Andrew Gale, club officials, and it would never got stamped out. Everyone saw it. But because the institution and the environment, it becomes such a norm in there that I don't think anyone thought there was anything wrong with it.
Look, it's a cricket, professional sport, dressing room culture, if you can call it that, is it exists in different sports in different parts of the world. There are in things like initiation ceremonies, and there's this kind of culture that young players get it tough and they've got to clean the boots of the senior players. And I mean, I think it's the whole thing is kind of outdated. But when you hear Rafiq talk about having alcohol forced down his throat, you know, as a 15-year-old, do we just need to relook at the whole way that we have this kind of senior junior player ethos, Harmy? I mean, it'd be lovely to think the world's moved on now.
Yeah, and it would. And I think when you look back at what Azim's saying about, you know, the racism stuff and the bullying and the culture, that is Yorkshire County Cricket Club. You know, you mentioned about the red wine at a 15-year-old. It is what he was going for. You know, there's names. I sat and listened to the young man who he didn't really want to call individuals out. He was trying to put his point across about Yorkshire being the problem, ECB being the problem. And I think part of that culture is sometimes manners, that clubs have had a tradition of, you know, senior players with junior players of, you know, when I first started playing, some of the first class grounds you were going to and the opposition you were going to had two different dressing rooms. They had a first team dressing room or a senior player dressing room and a junior dressing room. And I think that was across the board. You know, even, you know, when it comes to salaries, you know, you have to be a cap player to get to a certain point. I just look at this whole sort of sorry situation, and I don't think it's sport. I don't think it's cricket. I don't think it's sport. I think it's society. Society has a problem, I think. And until we get close to sort of moving that forward, then the knock-on effect will go into sport, or go into workplace, it'll go into other avenues where people will be bullied, yeah, racist and discriminative. So I get a bit annoyed when people say it's sport, because it's not sport. I think it's society.
It's really interesting as well to hear Rafiq illustrating just how commonplace racist language and racist behavior was. He's almost making excuses for those who didn't engage in it, but didn't call it out either. At one point, he said that he was pretty confident that Joe Root definitely would have heard racist abuse that he was subjected to during their time in the Yorkshire change room together.
Yeah, and I think that we've got to be clear as well, when we sit here and we talk about what we've just heard and what we've just witnessed, that there's two sides, three sides, many sides to ever-evolving story. Michael Vaughan, somebody who I know very, very well, inside out, call him more than a close friend, he's denied categorically saying what he said. We've seen the video of the huddle inside at Trent Bridge. Make your mind up with what you do with that. There was smiling, laughing faces. Rana was giggling at one point. Vaughan went and shook all four hands of all four Asian players. And when you look at the extract of his book, which was published about eight weeks later after he had retired, he says how proud he was. This was a pivotal moment in Yorkshire cricket because it was four Asian players, record that they were representing the county. He was the first non-Yorkshire-born player to represent Yorkshire. So it's not a case of wanting to believe one or wanting to believe the other. I look at the character of my former teammate, and if he says, and until somebody proves me wrong, I will look at Michael Vaughan in the same way as I always have done. You know, and that, whether I get criticised for that or not, or make a headline for that or not, and I think you have to, and the same with Joe Root. You know, Joe Root, if he turns around and says he didn't hear anything being said, well, then you've got to believe him. He's England captain, and you've got to believe him until somebody proves that's not the case. Then I think you have to go with what these guys are saying. And the thing that Azim Rafiq said about that is, well, maybe Joe Root didn't want to hear anything. So I can only go off what I have seen. But I'd also like to think if Joe Root says what he said, and Michael Vaughan categorically denies he said it, then until somebody proves it different, then I think we've got to believe both sides of the stories that's there.
It was very interesting that George Dobell, who broke this story originally and has spoken to us several times on the collective here, revealed that on the morning the story was going to be broken, Azim Rafiq called him at 6 a.m. in the morning and attempted to ensure that George was able to ask Yorkshire or through whatever channels to ensure that Gary Balance received the support that he felt he would need once the story was broken. So for anybody who says that Azim Rafiq is looking for revenge or retribution, just, you know, bear that in mind.
As well as that, man, he didn't say a lot sort of information-wise when he was in front of the select committee. But the select committee have published a 59-page document of his testament. So that's not Rafiq's fault. Azim Rafiq has been asked by the MPs to have a document, to give his evidence. He's given it. They have published. Whether it's right or wrong, they've published it. And now whoever has an answer to, you know, questions to answer, they'll be trialed by media. And I thought Azim Rafiq spoke about the individuals, you know, really, really well. He did, and he's more worried about Yorkshire and what's happening at Yorkshire than he was about the individuals.
Okay, just to close this section, this was Azim Rafiq talking about Gary Balance, describing all people of colour as Kevin.
Kevin was something Gary used to describe everyone of colour in a very derogatory manner, whether that be publicly, whether that be within the dressing room, whether that be opposition. This is an open secret within the England dressing room. This is anyone that's come across Gary would know that that's a phrase he used to describe people of colour. It was used in a derogatory manner all the time.
You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 with me, Neil Manthorpe, and former England fast bowler Steve Harmison. Still to come, we'll hear from ECB Chief Executive Tom Harrison, and we'll be joined live by former England batsman O.A. Sharp. Next up, we'll discuss how badly Yorkshire have handled this situation and hear from their former chair, Roger Hutton.
This is a watershed moment. I want to make this the best county cricket club in the world, not just for cricket, but actually for having the right culture and having the right values going forward. And absolutely, I would like to be the template that goes forward.
You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 with me, Neil Manthorpe, and the great Steve Harmison, as we continue to discuss the fallout from the Azim Rafiq case that happened in front of the DCMS panel on Tuesday. Well, as we've mentioned in the first part, it was 90 minutes of compelling and important in equal measure testimony from Azeem Rafiq. He was asked, and this will give you an idea of just how difficult it was, how difficult it's been for him coming forward with these allegations.
I've got a bit of Karachi and a bit of Barnsley in me. I know that the pain that I went through for them few months, no one could ever put me through that pain again. I had an interview about my new business. I got asked a question and I got emotional. I said everything. Even at that point, I genuinely thought that there might be some humanity left in some of these individuals. But no, there was. The initial response was, well, he's not talking about Yorkshire. He hasn't mentioned them. Then it was. It was just all about discredit, discredit, discredit. I don't know how I've done it. I really don't.
Azeem Rafiq, reflecting on how difficult it's been for him, Hami, at one point he says that his two young children, having already explained that he and his wife had lost a child, the two young children they have now, and they are young kids, had basically been without a father for 15 months, while his greatest concern was Yorkshire County Cricket Club attempting to discredit him. I mean, you don't need to have had kids to be moved by that. It's really hard to swallow.
It was. And when you look, a lot of that, man, as the 90 minutes of it was very, very difficult to swallow. Like I said before, I had a brief passage in the life of Azeem Rafiq. And when you see somebody you've had an experience with, you feel a little bit more connection with them and wholeheartedly sorry. And sitting there to hear his voice the way it was and to talk about his children, to talk about what happened to him the day after he buried his son was something that really surprised me. And it really did, in a way, with Martin Moxham. Martin Moxham was Durham coach for quite some time. And then he went back to Yorkshire. Martin Moxham, a father himself, I thought Matt had a bit more empathy with Azeem, and especially the way Azeem spoke. And like I said before, you know, everybody's got a right to reply, and we haven't heard what Martin has had to say on this subject. But when he says, you know, I'm explaining to my family and talking to my kids, say that they haven't had a father for 15 months because an organization which he represented is trying to discredit him, I think is a disgusting. I think it's a disgrace. And that, for me, like you said before, you know, fathers, both fathers, you've got your children on one side who you want to protect and do everything for, but you've also got your children on the other side who you have to keep fighting to protect your credibility for. And I've followed, obviously, on social media, I've followed Azeem for the 15 months now, and he has never let this go. And he has been so determined. And I just wonder, if the MPs hadn't got involved in this, would Azeem still be fighting that fight? And that for me is the biggest worry about this whole sorry saga.
Well, that's exactly what the former chair, Roger Hutton, who was only chair for 18 months, around 18 months, he admitted that exactly as you said. He was prompted by the MPs and said, where do you think you would be, Yorkshire County Cricket Club would be, if we hadn't intervened? And he admitted that he didn't know, but the mess would almost certainly still exist. He also admitted at one point that the club's executives didn't or don't see the severity of the situation. What did you make of his testimony in general? I mean, he was also pushed to answer the question about whether he believed Yorkshire County Cricket Club to be institutionally racist. And he hedged around it a little bit before the MP prompted him and said, I think you're saying yes, aren't you? And he said, I think it falls under that description. So
yeah, it was hard, manners. It was hard to watch. If Azeem Rafiq spoke brilliantly, powerfully, and emotionally, Yorkshire and ECB were complete 360 opposite. They were the other way. I thought ECB didn't do themselves any good. I thought Yorkshire, I thought they did themselves a bit better than ECB, but not very good. The chairman has threw everything at Mark Arthur and I think Martin Moxon in their camp, which I found that strange because the chief executive works for the chair. So if the CEO wasn't doing his job properly, and you know whether he was weak, being manipulated by other members of either the board or coaching staff or management staff, that the chief exec was weak not to sort of deliver on his promise of being, you know, the man in charge and looking after everybody under his remit, which was the players, then the chairman's got to come under some criticism as well. And I think the chairman of the select committee, actually, after he spoke to Roger Hutton, then spoke to the ECB and more or less asked the ECB, is he lying in one of his statements? And I think the ECB more or less said that Roger Hutton wasn't exactly truthful with what was said because they wanted the investigation stopped. How can you possibly stop this investigation? You know, and it's just one lump in your throat moment after another lump in your throat moment and another again and again and again for the next hour and a half after you had just listened to a young man just pour everything out powerfully on how badly he was treated. And that, like, it's been one mess after another for me from Yorkshire and ECB.
Well, this was what Hutton had to say about how the club needs to change.
I believed that the club's culture was stuck in the past. I think the club's culture needs changing. I didn't see that my resigning would be the way of changing that culture in August. I thought that my best way of changing it was trying to change it from within until it became apparent that I was no longer able to do that.
Azim Rafiq was brilliant. This is him on his return to Yorkshire for a second spell.
To be honest, start of 2016, I started really well. I was training with Derbyshire. They didn't have the finances to offer me a contract. And I was in a position where putting food on the table was really difficult. And I genuinely had no other option but to go and try and fulfil not only my dream but my family's dream. And that's just the honest why I went back. But more importantly, I think I was in denial right up to 2017.
Just quickly, Harmy, it's quite clear that Yorkshire tried to cover this up. And it seems like they've swept a lot of things under the carpet. They didn't want this to be released. They thought it would go away and they kept thinking it would go away. And they kept believing that they were in control of a situation. And whereas, in fact, they were just in complete denial, it seems. So they don't have international cricket. There are sanctions being imposed upon them. But they, as Roger Hutton says, they need to change from the inside. There's no point fining them.
Yeah, there's not. And I don't get that. What's, you know, the point of fining and taking cricket away from them, potentially ruining their business and they go out of business, then we haven't got a strong Yorkshire. You know, we've got to try and get Yorkshire back to the powerhouse they are from a cricketing point of view by educating people from the top. And that is going to be the most difficult thing that you're going to have to do. And Lord Patel, I thought he spoke very well last week, and he's got a difficult job to manage this situation, fresh start, get a belief back into Yorkshire that they're doing the right thing and going the right way. And it's going to take a lot of goodwill and a lot of help from the community and the biggest community in Yorkshire, the Asian community, to try and get them back in a position that they trust Yorkshire County Cricket Club again. Now, from a punishment point of view, you know, I've said, you know, fine, and taking international cricket, that's going to harm, you know, the long term because they're not going to have the financial resources, but they have to be accountable for what they've actually done. Durham County Cricket Club, my club, you know, the financial irregularities a few years ago, nearly put Durham out of business. We got relegated. They got international cricket taken away from them. But what? So where does Yorkshire's punishment come under? If that was so severe and everybody thought Durham was hard done by, what's going to happen to Yorkshire? Because it's not even close to being what happened at Durham County Cricket Club. And that for me is where that's the process that needs to be started first. This is where they're at. Lord Patel gets his team in, the board in, and he gets into the community and says, trust us. We are going to change. We are going to make this change. And we need it. English cricket needs a strong Yorkshire, because a strong Yorkshire is a strong England. But at this minute in time, there's not many people are going to trust Yorkshire County Cricket Club. And that is something they need to build from the bottom and go and hopefully go again by making some changes. And that, for me, would be at the top.
Just what do you make of Azim saying that Yorkshire were attempting to discredit him? The rumours and the viperous allegations that, you know, he was a troublemaker and he was a bully, and, you know, they weren't really attributed to anybody. They just sort of seemed to leak out. It seemed to be a cynical, deeply cynical part of the cover-up process. Is that the way you read it?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. I've mentioned a few times that people have a right to reply and what they've been accused of. But in this situation, I think this has been a whole organisation of people who have decided that we are going to stay together as a unit. And some of the stuff, you know, from inside of it has been horrendous. And we're going to make sure that this kid is, you know, he's got to wear. You know, we need him to disappear. And testament to Azim and others, you know, George DeBell and others who have stood up and kept this fight going. And like we said, right at the top of this section, if it wasn't for the MPs getting involved and the committee that they've spoken in front of today, then I would have seen this still rumbling on.
You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 with me, Neil Manthorpe, and former England fast bowler Steve Harmison. And next, we'll discuss what the ECB needs to do to make significant change. And we'll hear from their chief executive, Tom Harrison. You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 with the Institute of Cricket.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 with me, Neil Manthorpe, and former England fast bowler Steve Harmison. If you've missed any of the show or you wish to catch up, you can always download the podcast via the following on feed, available on the free TalkSport app or wherever you get your podcasts. Now, Harmy, the ECB sent a four-person delegation to to answer the questions of the DCMS. Tom Harrison, the chief executive, appeared to want to read a statement to open their appearance, and he was shot down. The MP said, "Sorry, you're here to answer our questions. You're not coming here to make a statement." How do you think Mr. Harrison and the ECB performed or came across today?
No, not very well. Like I said a bit earlier about Yorkshire. It was as if it was one organisation who thought, you know, they were too big to be taken down, and the ego that was Yorkshire, well, move over and bring four other ones in because they thought their ego was even bigger. And at one point, I thought I was watching an episode of the Chuckle Brothers. I don't want to. I thought, right, I'm not going to make any light-hearted comments in this show because it is so serious about it. But at one point, I thought I was watching an episode of the Chuckle Brothers because they were just going from me to you. That was it. It was me to you. They just deflected. It was, you know, the lawyer said one thing. And then Tom Harrison came in and then jumped in. And then when he got a bit stuck, he threw it back to the lawyer. And then it was at one point, there was at one point, they were trying to bounce between two of them that wasn't Tom Harrison. And the MP, the chairman is straight in, bang. No, no, you either answer or your boss answers. And I thought the ECB, they wouldn't have been underprepared. Couldn't have been. You know, this great organisation that's, you know, it's involved with large sums of money that, you know, run our game. I just thought they were just too arrogant. They thought they were too big for this. They shouldn't not be. I don't think they understood this. For me, they don't understand the severity of what was actually coming to them. And that is worrying from a leadership point of view out of our game. I might be wrong. I might be saying things that didn't happen. We looked an amateurish organization, and the man at the top didn't give the answers he should have, because when you look at it, Manners, you know, there was no leadership in this whatsoever. And for somebody to say, one of the MPs to say, I don't know cricket, but do you think the ECB is fit for purpose? I thought that was quite alarming, because what I was watching, I'm not saying she had a point, but she was right to ask that question.
It's funny, I've always thought of Tom Harrison as a bit of a politician himself, but it was funny watching him being grilled by the real thing. I'll never think of him as a politician again. But I often wonder as well about how concerned he is and various other chief executives about litigation. I mean, the former chair of Yorkshire had just admitted that Yorkshire was institutionally racist. Tom Harrison gets asked whether he thinks it's institutionally racist, and he refuses to answer the question. Just tell the truth.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. This is your time, Tom Harrison, to go and tell the world that Yorkshire have got this wrong. The former chairman has said yes to the question of institutionally racism. So you've got your chance to basically set the tone of, right, that's it. You know, we start from rock bottom and you move forward. But it's for just sitting on a fence and not saying a great deal. I just thought it was poor. ECB were, I thought every single member of that panel, I thought, you know, people looking from the outside, looking at cricket, you know, they've spent a huge amount of money to get the 100 over the line, largely down to Tom Harrison. You know, broadcast everything that goes with it, probably why he was brought in. And the participation and the viewing of cricket this year has, you know, the numbers have jumped through the roof. If they're sitting watching this committee grill the governing body and think, right, this is why I want to get involved in cricket. I want to sort of, I've enjoyed the 100. I want to know more about what's going on. You've got four people sitting there who couldn't answer a thing, didn't want to answer a thing, deflecting it either side. I think they've just all the good work they did and getting new people to watch the game of cricket in the 100 in the summer has just gone out the window because our leaders weren't in a position to lead.
It suddenly occurred to me, I want to ask you a wider question about education. People talk about education. People need to be educated. And I know a lot of people who don't know what that means, how to be educated. I'll give you a very small example. I've got two very good friends, one black, one white. And they affectionately refer to each other by very derogatory, racist nicknames. They are the best of friends. They've grown up together. And they have these names for each other. And I took them on about using them. And they said, well, we've been best mates since we were kids. And I said, but you call each other those names in public. And strangers who you don't know hear that and think it's okay. So that's just one tiny bit of example of education. The ECB need to show a lead here, don't they? They need to explain to and really get players, get associations, get administrators to understand It's not banter.
Yeah, and again, 100%. And I think that is something that Gary Balance was trying to throw his counter-argument back towards Azim Rafiq. And that was even more frustrating. But, you know, that's where, you know, Rafiq said, you know, the coaches were listening to this. The captain was listening to this. You know, the director of cricket was listening to this. And they were laughing at it. You know, put it down as banter. And I think that is... The game's changed, society's changed, and a lot's changed in the world. That, you know, from an education point of view, Manus, I do think there is a huge problem in the middle level of educating people, of trying to make it, you know, inclusive for everybody involved, from juniors all the way through to the senior level. But when it comes to the banter you're talking about, racism is racism. It's got no grey areas. It's not for a discussion. It's not for debate. It is wrong. Discrimination is wrong. And until a lot of people get their heads around that, then society will not move forward. So what chance has sport got?
Let's hear a bit for those who haven't heard from him. Let's hear a bit of Tom Harrison's testimony from today.
The reason why we didn't step into this investigation right at the start is because the complex role that the ECB plays in relation to being national governing body. And we've sent the panel a sheet of that explaining that role. We are the national governing body. We are the promoter. We are also the regulator. And on regulatory matters, it is normal practice for first-class counties to take on investigations that they want to take on at their will. It is then for the regulator, in other words, the ECB, to sit in judgment of that investigation and, if need be, run an additional investigation on top. On this occasion, I'll pass to Mr. Botros, who is our head of legal and integrity, was intensely involved in the negotiations at the time. Yorkshire were very clear that they wanted to run this investigation themselves. I think the handling of it, indicates there are some certain issues around institutional racism at Yorkshire, the handling of the report. I would agree with that.
Not the content?
Content, surely.
I think the content talks to culture and the culture of the game, which is, you know, needs to be thoroughly dealt with across more dressing rooms than just Yorkshire County Cricket Club, as we've heard through testimony this afternoon.
Just to be clear, when Mr. Hutton said earlier on, when he assented to the proposition that Yorkshire is an institutionally racist organisation, are you agreeing with that or not agreeing with that?
I'm saying that the handling of the...
I heard you say that just now, but I'm asking whether you agree with what Mr. Hutton said, that when he agreed that he felt that Yorkshire was... Cricket County, I think I asked him, is Yorkshire County Cricket Club institutionally racist? And he ultimately said yes. Do you agree with that?
I agree that the handling of the report indicates issues around institutional racism.
You know,
that's as far as I'm prepared to go.
You're obviously not going to answer my question as to whether you agree with what Mr. Hutton said. You either agree with him or you don't agree with him. And I understand what you said about the culture of it. You don't agree with him, do you? That's what you're saying.
As I said, I think the handling of the report speaks to institutional racism.
I think any reasonable person would determine for that exchange that you don't fully agree with Mr. Hutton. And would I be wrong to draw that conclusion?
I think I've made my position.
That was ECB Chief Executive Tom Harrison. You're listening to the Cricket Collective here on TalkSport 2. And in the final part, we'll hear live from former England batsman Oase Shah.
I think we've all learned some very key lessons from this experience, and indeed the mishandling of this investigation. Reforming our governance process, reforming our regulatory process happen all the time. Right? We're always trying to get better, and we're always trying to be more thorough.
You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 with me, Neil Manthorpe, and former England fast bowler Steve Harmison. And I'm delighted to say, as promised, we're joined live by former England batsman Oase Shah. Oase, I don't know how much of today's proceedings you were able to follow and how much of the news you've been able to catch up on. I mean, it's still hot off the press, but you will have heard, obviously. What are your thoughts and reactions on the day's events?
Yeah, I was pretty shocked. I actually managed to watch the bulk of the hearing on today with what's happened. And yeah, I just want to say I'm pretty shocked at some of the stuff that's come out, especially the way I think Yorkshire have dealt with racism. I think that episode, when you put racism aside, how Rafiq got dealt with by the coach the day after he buried his dead son, I think that was pretty shocking. Regardless, that's got nothing to do with colour. That's just, that for me was pretty shocking. But also, obviously, how Yorkshire have gone about the whole thing to find out exactly what's going on, find a solution, and then move on from the whole thing so that there isn't another Azeem Rafiq episode. I think for me, that's pretty important. I've got a son who plays cricket, has come out and makes me think, well, he might have a rocky road in his future. And I don't want that. I encourage my kids to play cricket, but I certainly don't want my son to deal with that kind of stuff. So I think that's pretty important for ECB, PCA, Yorkshire Cricket Club, all the cricket clubs around England to make sure this sort of episode doesn't happen. I think the BLM movement came in about, 18, 20 months ago. And, that sort of picked up momentum, and we are all aware of what's happening in the world. And all of a sudden now we've been hit by this. Some shocking revelations. And I'm also a little bit shocked how much or perhaps ECB and the PCA. I know PCA pride themselves on, supporting its players. I think that's really important. They've been very good at things like that. So to hear things like that, that they haven't been able to support Azeem, is a little bit alarming. So yeah, I'm pretty gobsmacked at what the kind of stuff has come out. But for me, it's about how and what happens now. How do we make a change in cricket? And I think the bigger picture is, how do we make a change in society? I think that, for me, is key.
Yeah, you mentioned the society bit, and you mentioned the sort of Black Lives Matter issue that came out about 20 months ago, and there was a lot of people, I'll say, that, ticking boxes and questioning, are people really open and honest and happy to move forward? And when you hear about what Azeem's gone through with Yorkshire and the ECB, does it surprise you at all?
Am I surprised about what's happened? I have heard a lot of stuff that's gone on with Yorkshire, and obviously with Gad that, he was at fault for using the derogatory term with Azeem. It doesn't surprise me to a certain extent. However, what surprises me, is how are people able to get away with it? For me, the problem lies is a player shouldn't be able to get away with that. So then you look at the hierarchy, the committees that run the club, the CEOs, the directors of cricket, the coach. Those people should not allow a culture where you can call someone the P word and say, yeah, it's fine. Don't worry about it. It's a bit of banter. No, mate, that doesn't work like that. Because then you could start calling the black guys the N word. Oh, it's okay. It's banter. Well, no, mate, it's not banter. It just can't be banter. That just cannot make, that is not banter. Let's just not go there. This, you're making someone feel the color of their skin.
I've shared a lot of dressing rooms with you, actually playing for England, but also in retirement as well with the PCA. I'll come on to the PCA in a second, but have you experienced, you mentioned about your son, talking about it, going into cricket if he becomes good enough. Have you experienced things that you wouldn't want your son to experience?
Yeah, look, I experienced racism at school. It was very blatant then. I remember that was how it was. Nothing really got anything done about it. Well, I've never been called the P word in cricket to my face. Whether I've had subconscious bias against me, I don't know. But to my face, no. I have not experienced anyone calling me the... but it's not about what I've experienced. I think it's more about Azeem has experienced people he mentioned that have reached out to him from a couple of counties. Funny enough, I played at Middlesex and Essex. Those guys are obviously not confident enough to come out for whatever may reason, and I don't blame them. But and that shows that things are resonating with them, that they have experienced similar kind of stuff. So it does seem to be existing, and we need to stamp that out now, because they're existing now. I stopped playing professional cricket 8 years ago now. That's a long time in cricket, I think. But these kind of guys, Azim's played what in the last 4 years, but you know, so it's more of a recent term of events what's happened. So it's looks like it's very much there now. I'll deal with it. We need to find a fix for this.
With Moeen Ali and Adil Rashid being at the forefront of England's success in recent years, it's extraordinary to think that there are so many battles and problems and racist attitudes holding back Asian players. What can be done? What needs to be done? I mean, you can punish people. You can take cricket away from Yorkshire and from Headingley. You can have retributive measures, but that doesn't change hearts.
It does. I think we need to do something to change the society, which I think will start trickling down into our sport, or change things in sport, and then that will have a knock-on effect on society. I really don't really have the answers, mate, but I really do feel that something has to be done. Maybe to start off with, maybe at the cricket level, where you have the who run cricket clubs. It's a well-known fact. We have CEOs. Whether we put people in place so that everybody gets a fair crack of the whip, so that there's no bias, because you've got a different colours. Perhaps that's the way forward. Or, to be honest, I don't really have an answer to that. I'm not a fixer for the society, but that's what I can come up with at the moment.
It's a little early with the wounds still so fresh after Azim's testimony today. It's a little premature to look at what good may come of this. It was a very intense and emotional testimony for 90 minutes. At one point, though, he said perhaps it was destiny, perhaps it was his fate not to have a cricket career, a playing career, that perhaps it was somehow his destiny to go down this route to make life better for his son and for future generations of Asian players. Do you think we will look back at today as a seminal moment, a change for the better?
I think the ECB, I think all the counties together, opportunity right now to make a difference so that we do look back and think, you know what, we're glad that Azim Rafiq stood up and he actually make a change for people of colour. Forget people of Asian descent or Black descent, doesn't matter. It's a fact that the issue is racism. You are better than X because your colour tone is different. That issue right there is what the problem is. And I think ECB have a great opportunity to stamp it out. Why are we not doing that? I want to see more action rather than words. Taking knees and stuff, which is great. Yeah, it's a great. What are we actually doing? What is the action? What are we actually going to put into place so that there isn't another Azim Rafiq episode? That's the bit that's disturbing. That a guy could be driven to the verge of, you know, he was talking about taking his own life. I mean, that's serious. A laughing matter, I'm afraid.
It was former England batsman O.A. Shah joining us live. Hami, a massive amount to process, obviously. And I said earlier that it'll take more than a couple of hours and more than a couple of days. I think we'll still be learning lessons from today and from the last, some will say decades. Of prejudice, but what can we learn from today? Just sum it up for us.
I think we can learn from today that cricket still has a problem. I was asked this morning by Simon Jordan, you know, from about was it or is it? And I would say it is still a problem. I think where we go from here is we go forward. We can't go any further back. We can't. It's not possible. I think we have to give the right of reply to the people who have been accused or have been implicated in this and trust and believe what they say and their side of stories. And I think we have to have a balanced side of it. And then, you know, they have to have an open conversation with themselves and with others to make sure that this doesn't happen again. We don't have another Azim Rafiq. I just hope that we can move forward from it and get better. I hate the cliche, we learn from it, because that's the biggest load of nonsense that I've ever heard, because it just comes off the tongue and nobody really means it. Well, we have to mean this time. The cricket needs to mean this time. This is the biggest thing I've seen since Hansi Cronje, scandal-wise, in cricket. And I think until we start educating people that, you know, inclusion is everything, then we will not go forward. I think we've had a powerful statement from a powerful young man here. And this has to be a watershed moment of English cricket, because if it doesn't, I fear for what's going to happen in the future.
Excellent. Thank you very much once again, mate. You've been listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 with me, Neil Manthorpe, and former England fast bowler Steve Harmison. If you've missed any of the show or you wish to catch up, you can download the podcast from the following odd feed, now available via the free TalkSport app or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back at the same time next week, but this has been the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2. And by the way, Australia won the T20 World Cup.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.